There are a couple of archangels in the Bible. Gabriel was an archangel, is an archangel. Michael is an archangel. Archangels are angel supervisors. They supervise other angels in the hierarchy of angelology. And Michael, that's really a word, angelology. Michael is a fighting archangel. He's always battling devil and demons, and he's just like a Rambo type guy. Gabriel was an announcing angel. He's a nice, sweet guy, likes to give people good news and talk to people. And yet last night we talked about how and when Gabriel announced the birth of John the Baptist, and then he announced the birth of Jesus to Mary, went up to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Mary's like, you know, I don't know how. I've never been with a man. You know, I'm a virgin. He said, well, let me tell you, your cousin Elizabeth, remember that old lady? She's pregnant, 6 months. And Mary's like, oh, if she's pregnant, I'm going to get pregnant. That's okay. Because Elizabeth was an older woman, and she couldn't have babies. So God opened her womb, and then Mary got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine your teenage daughter coming home saying, Mom, I'm pregnant, and after you stop, you know, screaming and yelling, say, who's the father? And your daughter said, God. Well, where does God live so I can send him back to heaven, okay? Mary had to deal with that. She had to go and convince everybody it was God that got her pregnant. And so today we're going to look at the announcement that Jesus is born. An angel is going to tell the shepherds that Jesus is born. And we're going to see three things we should do and how we should respond to the gospel. Because the message that Jesus is born is a message to us for a specific reason. To many people, it's a season when you go out and you have days off from work and you go shopping and you have a tree and everybody's happy. That's not the message at all. Matter of fact, they tried to take Jesus, Christ, out of Christmas, and for some reason it didn't work. And so now, we're losing money, so we got to put Jesus back into Christmas. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. Even though some people come to church on Christmas and Easter, some of y'all, last time you've been to church was Easter or last Christmas. And people who come to church on Christmas and Easter, we call them Creasters. You know, you go to Christmas, then, okay, well, it's 4 months, going to be Easter, I'll go again. That's not what it's about. It's about walking with Jesus every day. So we're going to look at in the story. The angel comes and announces the actual birth of Christ to the shepherds. We're going to follow this story and look at three things that we need to do and how we respond to the gospel. Look at verse 1, chapter 2. It says, came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, if you're watching any of the Bible programs, all the Bible programs want to reinterpret the Bible. Matter of fact, every week on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, I believe, National Geographic does a whole hour on the Bible all year long. They just do it all the time. And the other day, they were doing a thing on this story, and, well, you know, the Gospels conflict. Was there really an end? Was there really... What the Bible says is true. So when you watch those shows, you always have to, you know, be careful what they say and filter it through the fact that these are men trying to tell you stuff based on partial information. God knows what he's talking about. And sooner or later, they'll figure out that the Bible is true. Matter of fact, I was having a discussion with somebody recently, and they were saying how could all people come from one person? Was there really an Adam? And National Geographic had a program on the scientific Adam and proved by the study of genetics that all men come from one man. It was really kind of wild. Now, they had some other stuff in there that they threw in there, but that was contradicted with the Bible. But basically, they said that all chromosomes, Y chromosomes, can be all traced back to one individual. It's an amazing program. So anyway, the Bible's true. And so when you see the show and you read the Bible, believe the Bible, because the show will change eventually. Verse 8, Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by the night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The reason they were afraid, because if you ever seen or saw or encountered or experienced a supernatural angelic being with the glory of the angelic being around them, you would be scared too. You'd be freaked out because it'd be something you ain't never seen in your life. You remember the show Touched by an Angel, how there was three angels usually. There was a white lady, the main lady from England, she had the English Australian accent, then you had Della Reese, and then you had the white guy. And whenever the white guy showed up, what was going to happen? Somebody's going to die. And he was a really nice guy, but he was there to take somebody out. Whenever he showed up, the other two angels would go, oh, he said, yeah, it's time. And he was like, I'm just doing my job. Can't negotiate with the angel. The angel's only there to be a messenger, to do what God says. Can't negotiate with the angel. And so when they saw this angel, they're like, are you the bad guy? Are you the angel that's going to take us out? No, I'm not Michael. If Michael's here, you'd be in trouble. I'm here to tell you something. So they were afraid also because of the supernaturalness of what they saw. And the angel says, don't be afraid. But then look what it says. It says in verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Everyone say all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. A babe is not a woman. It's a little baby. Okay, that's probably why they rent so fast. They're like, let's see the babe in the swaddling clothes. God revealed that to me last service. I don't know if it's God or what, but I've never seen it that way. You will see a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Or the Babe Ruth, whatever however you want to see it. Suddenly, there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. He said, look, there is a baby going to be born, has been born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and this baby is the Savior of the world. If you look in your notes, the first thing we want to do is receive the gospel as a message from heaven. When someone tells you about Jesus, when someone tells you about the opportunity for your sin to be forgiven, the opportunity for you to have a new life, the opportunity for your mind to be cleansed, renewed, for you to have eternal purpose in your life, receive it as though it's from heaven, not from man. This angel came from heaven. It wasn't a guy who was out in the woods who had had some vision, and he came and said, here's what I learned in the woods, in the mountains. It wasn't a guy in a cave who said, God told me through an angel in a cave. There was the angel himself and a host of angels themselves talking to a group of shepherds, more than one witness, saying, here's the story. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, has been born, and you can go check it out to see if it's just like I said. You need to receive this as gospel. Now, the reason I say that is because many people claim to be Christian, claim to have Christ in their life, but they have no evidence of it in their behavior. They go to church, Christmas and Easter, maybe a few other times during the year. They do good according to what they think. They try to be the best person they can, treat people as they would want to be treated, and they think that that's all they got to do. The gospel is bigger than that. The gospel says we are all sinners, that the penalty of sin is death, that we will die physically and go to hell because of our sin. The Bible says our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That we are more sinful than we know, more prideful than we know, not as cute as we think, and not as smart as some people tell us. That our own pride blinds us from reality, that we want to see things the way we need to see them to preserve our own sanity. But that's our own sinfulness. We need to receive the gospel as though it's from heaven, that God knows what he's talking about. Do you remember when you were a little kid how you thought you knew everything? Especially when you got to be about 15, 16 and a half. Mom and dad were clueless. They didn't know nothing. Now you know how dumb we were. Amen? We didn't know nothing. But you know what? Even though now many of us are grown, we still don't know nothing. Still don't know nothing. We don't know how God made the heavens and the earth. We don't know how God feeds the birds, the bees, the animals in the woods. He takes care of all that. What do we really know? What do you really know about your life? What's going to happen to you after you die? What's your true purpose is? So much about our own self we don't even know. We need to receive God's gospel as though it's from heaven, that God knows exactly what he's talking about. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly how much you need him. He knows everything you've ever done, thought, had an intention to do, had a desire to do. He knows all the evil and wickedness in your mind and your heart and all the goodness as well. He knows everything. And he says, after he's assessed us as humans, you need a savior. So I'm going to send my son to die for you because you are hopeless and helpless without my son. That's the truth. We need to receive that. Because if you don't receive that, what you're saying in turn to God is, God, I don't need that. I have my own plan. I'm going to do my own thing. I'd venture to say, and this is just my opinion, and my opinion means, but you can listen to it anyway because I'm talking, I got the mic. That most people who claim to be followers of God are people who think that they have their own goodness. I'll just be a good person. Now, I could be wrong, and you know, it doesn't really matter because we know a whole lot of people. I'm just going to be a good person. Well, I can tell you what the Bible says is none good, no, not one. Good enough to get to heaven on your own. That's a fact. So we need to receive this as though this is true. This is not an opinion. You know what's ironic about Christmas? This is the amazing thing about Christmas. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. No one knows when he was born, and I probably wasn't even born in December. But you know why it's still a special day? The Bible says if you lift up Christ, he will draw all men onto himself. And because, and again, this is also my opinion. But when the whole world decides to acknowledge Christ on the same day, things happen. People are happy. They buy stuff for other people. They smile. You're all dressed up. People were here with ties at the Rock on Sunday. Why? Because when you lift up Christ, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you see, see everything lines up. What if you lifted up Christ every day? That's the definition of a Christian. And so we need to receive this as good news. Let's keep reading. Verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. Imagine that. Now, give me a little science lesson. The universes are separating. The universe is expanding, I should say, at the speed of light. 186,000 miles per second, the universe is doing this. How they know that and how that's happening is way beyond the scope of any human capacity. The universe is expanding at the speed of light. Every second, 186,000 miles. What? How big? What? These angels says, we got to go. Where are you going? Well, you know the edge of the universe that keeps going out? We're going past that. Bye. It's light years. It didn't take them light years. They get there like that. Okay? Light year is the distance that it takes light to travel in a year. Sorry. you kind of knew what I was saying, right? Yeah, we got you, Miles. Go ahead, just read the Bible, okay? So it was the angel had gone away into heaven, and the shepherds, and by the way, just a little theory about this. This is absolutely has no scientific foundation. This is just my opinion. You know what a black hole is? A black hole is an area in space where the gravitational force is so heavy and so strong that light can't even escape. If everything goes in, nothing comes out. And you can't really see it. They just know that right there, everything just gets lost. They just have all these ways of guessing because nothing can come out. You can't shoot something in and have it bounce back out because the gravitational force is so strong that even electronic rays and radio waves will just go in and go and never come out. That's deep. I mean, God just said, I'm gonna make this. I heard once, and again, this is probably not true, but it's such an interesting concept, that that's where angels go into heaven. That's deep. It's probably not true, but, you know, just for the sake of going, woo, think about it. So it was when the angels had went away and went into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. The second thing you need to do after you receive the gospel, respond to the good news by faith. What they said was, we're going to go see if this is really true. And they went and saw that it was really true. Now, there are many people who go to church, but they're not reading the Bible. Excuse me, they're not serving. They're not giving. They're not praying for the enemies. They just go to church. Well, you're not really investigating the gospel. You're attending a meeting. Very different. When you hear the gospel and if you believe it to be from heaven, the only reasonable thing for you to do is to check it out by faith. Go see if it's true. Now, to come sit in a church and observe is level number one. Very, very surface. If you think you can determine or discern everything about Christianity by just sitting and watching, observing a preacher, look at the worship team, look at people around you, well, no one said hi to me, so I'm not coming back. Christianity's phony. Well, that's really a cop-out. Think about how much people invest in and trust in alcohol. How much people invest and trust in sex and relationships. How much people trust in drugs and money and power and cars and things. Why, if I get this, that's going to be it. God says, why don't you give me the same opportunity? You know, people, a lot of times I'll talk to single people and they go, well, if I could just get married, I'm going to be happy. All the married people laughing because, you know, yeah, they ain't going to do it. Now, you can absolutely be very happy. I'm very happily married for 21 years. You can be happily married. But just getting a husband or a wife is not the answer to your problems. You know, you hear people, there was a movie out called Jerry Maguire, and Jerry Maguire said to the girl, Zellwinger, what's her name? Zellwinger. Yeah, with the eyes. He says, you complete me. Your spouse does not complete you. People don't complete people. God completes you. If you have two incomplete people that get married, you got an incomplete couple. And you have a messed up marriage, potentially. God completes. So we give all these things an opportunity to complete us and to fulfill us, to satisfy us. They never work. They never work. They went to see if the gospel was what is true. And if I'm telling you that you're a sinner and that Christ wants to forgive you and cleanse you, fill you with supernatural power and vision and purpose for your life, renew your mind, show you why you are on this earth, write your name in the book of life in heaven, grant you security, eternal life. If I'm telling you that God wants to give you everything you're really looking for because God gave you the desire to look for it in the first place. The devil's the one who distracts you and gives you false options. God says, I put this desire in you, and I gave you the option, the opportunity to have the desire fulfilled. If that's really true, go check it out. Give God an honest opportunity, not a day, not a week. Give him your whole life and walk with him. And as you walk with him, you will realize this works. He is really faithful. His word really is true. My desires are really changing. I'm really getting off my addictions. And it doesn't have to be drugs, alcohol addiction. It could be addiction to yourself. I mean, how much this in the mirror do you do? Could be addiction to things. Could be addiction to your power, your money, your big desk at your office in front of the big window and everyone else is in a cubicle. I got to be the man. God can, he can separate you from all that supernaturally in your heart. It really does work. It really does work. Don't be deceived by what you see on TV. That stuff's not going to, I was watching, you know, the commercial where the lady and a guy, same commercial, and they're thinking, what am I going to buy my spouse? I can't imagine. They're all done up, all nice. And they look outside and there's a Lexus there. Oh, I'll just buy a Lexus. I was like, is that reality? I mean, God bless you if you can do that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But that ain't reality for a whole bunch of folks. But what's reality is that the gift of salvation is completely free and available to everyone. But you have to do it by God's terms. These guys says, as soon as they heard the gospel, they said, we are going to go right now to see if it is as they say. And look what it says. It says in verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger just as they had seen. The only reasonable response to the gospel, if you hear it as a message from God, is to receive it. Is to say, Lord, I submit to you myself a sinner. Hopeless and helpless in my own sin, I can't cleanse myself. Please forgive me. I don't want to go to hell. Think about it. You're going to either die and go to hell or die and go to heaven. And the only way to go to heaven is to receive the gospel on God's terms. So think about that. Hell or heaven? Hell or heaven? Think about that. I've been to several churches, and I'll do this right now. Does anybody in here, by a show of hands, now listen very carefully to this question. Does anybody in here want to go to hell? You do. One person. Anybody else want to go to hell? I didn't think so. Then don't. You don't have to. You know what the Bible says? People say, well, does God predestine? He knows. If you want to go to heaven, you can choose if you want. No prerequisite other than faith and a desire not to go to hell and a desire to have a relationship with God. It's so simple. It's so free. When the Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, he loved the world, not just a select few. He loved everybody. Now, some people will choose to go to hell. And you know what? They will get it. And they will not have a second chance. Other people will choose to try to get to heaven on their own terms. They will get hell. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? Adam and Eve's sons, they both made a sacrifice and offered to God. Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Why? Cain didn't kill anything. He didn't shed any blood. Without bloodshed, there is no forgiveness of sin. Cain gave God what he wanted to give God. God said, no, I don't work that way. You give me what I prescribe. And what I prescribe for all of you today, 2005, is my son, Jesus Christ. He died for you. That's your sacrifice. Because you have nothing worthy of your sin. You ain't got nothing I want. I don't want your Lexus. I don't want your house. I don't want your money. I don't want anything you got. Jesus Christ died, my son, to pay the price for you. That's your Savior. That's the payment for your sin. That's the only thing you can give me. We always want to give God our own goodness. Our goodness is like filthy rags, garbage to God. God provided us the perfect sacrifice. Here's the thing about God's sacrifice. When you accept God's sacrifice on his terms, it's not like, okay, Jesus is my Savior, now I'm going to go about my business. No, no, no. You are united as one with Christ. The Bible calls being born again. When a man and a woman get married, the Bible says that the two shall become one. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, the two become one. Marriage is in the second chapter of the Bible. It is a metaphor, a word picture for our relationship with Christ. A man and his woman become one. In the Christian sense, the Bible says that Christ is the groom and the church is the bride. We are one. It's a relationship. And from that point forward, you walk with God. And you give God the opportunity you've given everything else to satisfy you and give you purpose. And if you do that, your life will change. It'll be Christmas every day for you. Let's keep reading. Number three. Once you hear and respond to the good news, relay it to everyone you can. Relay it to everyone you can. When they had seen him, verse 17, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it were marveled. at those things which they told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned and glorified and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You know what the Bible says? That when they heard the news, they went and saw that it was just what they said. And the first thing they did is they went out and told other people. Can you imagine standing in line at Vaughn's, Radio Shack, the mall? I went shopping at the mall 2 days in a row this week. I don't like the mall. And I had a before I got out of my car. And I just said, okay, just turn it down to first gear and just take your time and, you know, go store to store. See, women shop, men hunt. So my goal is to see if I can just pick out the first thing, if I can find it on the first go-around. Anyway, I went to all these stores, and I ended up picking up the stuff for my daughter in one of these stores and go over and look, and there's a line to go to the cash register. It's like, I got to stand in line to go to the cash register. Can you imagine that if y'all was like, and? For me, it's like, ugh. So I'm standing in line, and in the store, can you imagine standing in the store, and you're going to heaven, and the person right next to you is going to hell. And you're standing there for 10 minutes waiting, 5 minutes, hopefully not longer than that. And you don't tell them. They die and go to hell. You die and go to heaven. And they're looking for a way to go to heaven. And you know. Do you know you experience that every day? There are people around you. Am I saying you have to tell everybody? That might not be practical, but you probably need to tell more than you do. Because they're looking. There are people who are looking. They want to know how. Do you think anybody really wants to go to hell? No. Nobody really wants to go to hell. They really know what it's about. These guys went and told everybody. And you know what the Bible says? That it was just like God said. Do you know that when the Jews were delivered from Egypt by Moses, if you saw the movie The Prince of Egypt, if you haven't seen that movie, it is one of the best animated films. It is the bomb. If you watch this movie, you will get chills on your body. Because Moses delivers the Jews from Egypt. He comes to the Red Sea and he holds up this staff and the water goes, oh, it is the bomb. And the Egyptians are behind him and there's a pillar of fire, just like it says in the Bible. Well, they walked around the desert for how many years? Everyone say 40. 40 is a number of testing in the Bible. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Elijah fasted for 40 days. Moses was alive 3 40-year periods. Grew up in Pharaoh's home 40 years. He was a shepherd 40 years, and he walked around 40 years. A woman is pregnant 40 weeks, not 9 months. 40, 40, 40, 40. And so they walked around 40 years. But do you know they could have gotten to the promised land in 1 year? In 1 year, they were at the edge of the promised land. And Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land and said, go see if it's like God said. They went and spied out for how many days? 40. They went and spied out for 40 days, long enough to get the test done, and they came back with proof. Fruits, vegetables, and they said, it's just like God said. Look at all this stuff that's growing there. It's just like God said. And then they said, but there's giants. And we were like little grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't fight them. And Joshua and Caleb said, we can go in this, take the promised land after 1 year. And the other 10 said, there were 12 of them. The other 10 said, we can't go in. And all the people said, you came, brought us out here to kill us. And God said, just because you don't believe me and trust me, even when you have proof, you're going to walk for 40 years. And all y'all are going to die. I'm going to kill you. You're never going to get in. Now you may say, that's cruel. You don't know the whole story. They didn't believe God when they had miracle after miracle after miracle. They had the Red Sea. They had the plagues in Egypt. They saw all these miracles, and they still didn't believe God. If you really ask God to show you his hand in your life, you will see miracle after miracle after miracle. And for you to say, well, I still don't trust him, he's like, well, ain't nothing I can do for you now. And some of y'all in here who have never asked Christ to be your Savior, you know God is true. You know he's true. You see evidence of him every day in what has been made. You see it in the people you know. You see lives that have been changed. People who've been on drugs who are renewed. People who've been on alcohol. People who don't curse anymore. People who used to be foul in every area of their life and they don't do it. And all of a sudden they change. You're like, how? And you're like, God says, I want you to step by faith and trust me. There's no other way it can happen. And today's your day, Christmas. Christmas is not about the gift under your tree. Please. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ and receiving the gift of salvation, which is free. Free. 4 years ago, five, maybe even longer than that, when Bobby Ross was the coach of the Chargers, we went out to training camp one day and we had all these alumni come in and everyone was like, well, my name is so-and-so. I was a first-round draft choice. My name is so-and-so. I was all pro. My name was so-and-so. I was this. I was that. And I was a free agent. So I said, well, my name is Miles and I'm none of that. I don't have any of that. But what I have, all y'all can have. I accept Jesus Christ my Savior, and it's free to all y'all, no matter how good or bad you play football. You can have it right now. You know what? What God offers you, don't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, or other, don't matter if you're rich or poor, male or female, handicapped or not, pretty or cute or ugly in the eyes of the world, overweight or underweight, obese or too skinny, or in shape, got a heart rate of 50 or 90, it don't matter. And if your heart rate is 90, you might need him really bad. It don't matter. It's free to whoever, whenever. And my challenge to you is to receive it because it is just as God said. It changes your life, cleanses your sin, renews your mind, and puts your whole course of your life right where God wants. But it's a relationship. It's a day-to-day thing. You can't be a Christian. You can't receive the gospel today and come back next on Easter. You got to walk in them every day. So right now, what we're going to do in a minute, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want you to think very carefully and listen very carefully to what I'm saying to you about your future. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you indeed did allow yourself to be born, live 30 years as a regular member of society. You learned a trade. You got a job. You helped take care of your brothers and sisters. You went to school. And then you started a ministry that lasted 3 years. You performed miracles no one ever did. You walked on water. You healed the deaf, the mute, the crippled, the diseased, raised dead, cast out demons, spoke to the weather. You taught lessons about things we never heard. At 12, you confronted the religious and the trained. Blew their mind with your wisdom. And then you allowed sinful man to betray you, arrest you, crucify you, torture you, interrogate you, kill you. You were buried, and then you rose from the dead. And then you walked around for 40 days. There's that number again. Showed yourself to hundreds of people at a time. And then you ascended to heaven in public. In the day for all to see. There is no question you did everything you could to prove and verify that you are the Lord, the Savior, God. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, with an opportunity to have a relationship with you based on your terms, as you have prescribed in your word. If today you realize, yes, I'm a sinner, as the Bible says, all are. Today you realize that Jesus Christ died for your sin, as the Bible says he did. And today you realize that it's time for you to surrender your life to Jesus and stop doing it your way, but do it his way. I want to challenge you to pray with me in the privacy of your heart by faith, believing these things to be true. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin will kill me and send me to hell. I do not want to go to hell. And I believe Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he died and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. Please come live in my heart. Please be my Savior. Right now, in this place, I surrender my life to Jesus, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are surrendering your life to God. You are making a public confession. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. But if you honor me before man, I will honor you. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, please forgive me of my sin, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. 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 Very good. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. We see you. We see you also. We see you again. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Today is the day of salvation. Anybody else, stand to your feet. You may be thinking to yourself, I don't need to stand. Well, Christianity is something you do in public. It's not something you keep to yourself. Jesus died, lived, was crucified, rose, ascended in public. Today is the day, and this is the place you begin that process. Anybody else, stand to your feet. Many of you are standing. God bless you. Very good. 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 God bless you. Good. Good. Very good. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing to do one more thing. The Bible says the just shall walk by faith. We're going to ask you to step out of your seat, come down to the altar, and let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen. Who's the man? Who's the man? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You guys can stay here. Stay right here and just face this way. God bless you. 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 God bless you, sir. God bless you. Can I get you ready? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Today's Christmas, 2005. Today is the day you got the best gift you can ever get. When you go home, you look at what you opened up, appreciate it, don't waste it, but just know it's going to fade. It's going to break. It's going to get old. You ain't going to want it one day. Even if it's a diamond. Even if it's a diamond. This is the gift that will be with you for the rest of your life. And when you die, I have no idea how it's going to happen when we die and God, but it's going to be the bomb. And I have a feeling, and then this is my opinion, means nothing, that we're going to remember this day. That's just my, maybe not, but it's going to be the bomb. And we're going to go, man, I'm glad I gave my life to Jesus. Nothing out there can harm you. If you die, you go to heaven. When you die, it's going to be a good day. It will be a good day. But technically and biblically, you just entered into eternity. You just entered into eternity because the minute you go, you're gone. It's never going to end. God wants to do an amazing thing in your life. We're going to pray for y'all, and then we're going to have all y'all go that way and follow that young lady right there. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Let me say all this. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Be a light to your family. Don't let the world dictate what Christmas is about. Don't let the world dictate what Jesus is about. And don't let the world tell you what this book is about. God determines that. And he has assigned the church the responsibility to dictate that. Our world is going away from God. We cannot. Stand strong. Amen? Let's pray for these people. Lord, we thank you so much for all these people. We thank you so much for their faithfulness. Lord, thank you for their courage to stand up, and walk down the aisle. And I pray, as I know you will, honor their faith. And I pray they really, really trust you. That they don't go home and say, well, I just did that because I was emotional. That they would make a commitment to walk with you and let you be God. In Jesus' name.